Blog Talk Radio.
Judkins of Holy Ghost Fire Church, along with teacher slash pastor Charlie Sims of Holy Ghost Fire Church. Charlie, we were able to get on today.
Yes, we were. I guess the server was down on Thursday. It appeared like the server was on. We couldn't connect to anything.
No, we tried. We even tried to call in, but the good news is we're on right now, and we can just pick up where we left off before.
All right.
All right, Charlie, would you like to open us in prayer?
Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that tonight that you'll give us wisdom and understanding of your word, that we can share it with others. And Lord, let those that are listening receive what you have for them, Lord, that their hearts and spirits might be opened up to receive from your hand. And Lord, we're going to thank you for it. We ask you by your Holy Spirit to just set the words on fire that they can be substance and life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, before we start, we have a call-in number. The call-in number is 646-787-8364. Again, the call-in number is 646-787-8364. We'd love to have you call in if you have questions. Perhaps you don't agree with us. Perhaps you know something that we wouldn't know, and you'd like to share it with us and others. The chat is also open, so if you come into the chat room, you can ask the questions in the chat room, and Charlie and I will answer them to the best of our abilities. So, Charlie, are we ready to get on with demon manifestations?
Yes, part two. Let's get it.
Let's part two. Charlie, for a recap of those people, you know a lot of people out in the body of Christ are sitting there saying, well, come on, this demon stuff, man, what are you doing all this stuff for? It's not real. This doesn't happen, maybe occasionally. Is demonic activity and demonic oppression, is it a real thing, do you think?
I know that it's real. I've encountered it. I've run into it, had to deal with it. And that's one of the most tremendous lies that Satan tells people is that, you know, he and his emissaries do not exist. It's just, you know, it's just evil in the heart of men. There is evil in the heart of men, but when you enhance that with the works of darkness, you've got a real issue.
That's right. That's right. And the Bible says that Satan comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. See, Satan's not like God. He can't be all places all the time. So he has to have a little help. And, you know, it only kind of makes sense that he's got demonic beings and fallen angels that are out doing what he's basically telling them to do.
Yeah.
All right. So, demon manifestations. Demons, when confronted by the power of the Holy Ghost, sometimes demonstrate particular natures. When their presence and tactics are exposed, they may become excited and frenzied. Charlie, in your 44-plus years in ministry, have you ever seen a demonic manifestation where perhaps that demonic being was excited or frenzied up inside of in a person?
Oh, yes.
Can you give us an example?
Well, let's see. There's been at least a few times that I've been preaching, and I've been preaching on the, about the life of Christ and how he did miraculous things. And sometimes there would be somebody in the audience that would just start screaming out.
Well, they liked your message that much where they were cheering you on?
Well, that wasn't cheering on. that literally wasn't an amen. It was an oh me, you know. yeah, they do get stirred up, and sometimes they will actually challenge you and say, well, you know, that stuff's in the Bible. That's not really what God wants us. So that's not really what the Lord has to say about that. And then they will come out with some twisted thing about Scripture, and you know that it was not God that was doing that.
That's right.
He's not going to speak. He's not going to speak against himself.
No, not at all. All right, so I came up with a few scripture tongue-tied here. I came up with a few examples of some demonic manifestations, and we'll back it up with some scripture as well. One of the ones that I have here first is Satan and his demons are identified with serpents. Would you agree?
Yes.
All right. Would you read Luke chapter 10, verse 19 for us, please?
He says, "Behold, I give you power," and that word is authority, "to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you."
That's quite interesting right off the bat here. I'm going to read the Amplified. "Behold, I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power of the enemy that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you."
Mm-hmm.
That word trample right there, Charlie, means to tread or to crush.
Yes.
So he's given us power and authority to crush these serpents and scorpions, which aren't literal serpents and scorpions. He's talking about demonic entities here. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So if he's given us power and authority to trample or to crush these demonic entities or demonic beings or fallen angels or whatever you want to call them, then they must come against us.
Yes.
So it must be real. Why do you think the body of Christ is either ignorant to this or they're told that we're too fanatical, that this stuff doesn't really happen. This isn't this or this. Not. Why is there excuses when it comes to this stuff?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that because people don't think in these terms. It's not taught. It's the fault of the pastors in America. They don't teach it. They don't talk about it, and most of the times when there's some kind of manifestation, they don't know what to do with it. So they kind of lay it aside and say, you know, this doesn't exist kind of thing.
Now, before we came on here, I was sending out the invites to our show links, like we do with, you know, every radio show, and I had this person that I messaged the link there, so all you have to do is click on it to get into the show. And, some people will click on and some won't. But this person, he looked like he was an older gentleman. He was dressed up, and he messaged me back, nothing but a bunch of commercial garbage. And I asked, I wrote back to him saying, "Sir, are you born again?" And he wrote back saying that he was born again. He had a doctorate. He went to theology school, and he was high up in the church teachings.
Uh-huh.
And basically, again, said that what we were teaching was all lies, it's all garbage, and that we're misleading the people. So it's kind of saddens me. What's that?
What I was saying was, does he read the same Bible I read?
I don't know. Here's a man who's he basically told me that he had a doctorate. You know, he was way smarter than we were. And, you know, probably in a worldly sense, probably is. But I went on to say, well, sir, we choose to preach the gospel, and we choose to look for people who are either searching or have a passion for Christ. And we don't care about a religious title. What we care is about what the Word of God says, worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ, honoring the Father in heaven, following the Holy Ghost, and helping the people see the light and the truth according to the Word of God. And that's really all we're trying to do. You know, Charlie's in a little bit of a better financial standing than me. He makes twice as much money as I make on here. So,
well, nothing plus nothing equals nothing, my friend.
That's right. So nothing plus nothing is nothing. So you're doing good. So, you know, we just want to teach people the Word of God, and we like to touch on subjects that a lot of people don't really talk about. I mean, how good is it to have everybody talk about, you know, prosperity or the tithe? You know what I mean, Charlie? I mean,
yeah.
You know, let's get out of the mainstay and hit people where they get attacked the most. All right, but let's turn. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I myself have run into intellectuals over the years that they literally denounce anything other than what they themselves choose. They don't talk about devils. They don't talk about demons. They don't talk about evil spirits. They don't talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't talk about miracles, laying on of hands, none of that stuff. Because all of that, their basis is this. They've been so theologically trained that this is the way that it was, and it happened back then, but when the canon of Scripture was completed, everything was done, so there was no need for any of that anymore because it was taken care of during that time period.
Amen. That's true. Absolute truth. Do I still have you?
I'm still here. But it's a bothersome thing when you approach it that way. Just the other day, I heard a preacher make the statement. I was watching a program, and he made the statement. He says, for the beginning of the church, for the first few years till the church got established, maybe the first 40 or 50 years or 60 years or 70 years after the church got started, he said all of these things were very valid. He said, that's done with. He says, it got the church going, but we don't need any of those things anymore. They're completed because that which is perfect we have now. They use the term that which is perfect has already come. And they said the canon of Scripture was completed. It's organized. It's put together. We've got the Word of God. We don't need any of that anymore.
I'm telling you, I just don't understand. People need to get into the Word of God and dig for it themselves and, you know, go from there. That way we won't be Hosea chapter 4:6, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge in action.
Yeah.
So with that, Charlie, would you like to read Revelation chapter 12, verse 9? I may have skipped over verse 19, but it's verse 9.
Yeah, 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
So we know that one of the examples of demonic activity and manifestations, according to the Word of God now, Charlie, is serpents.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen in ministry when you were casting out a devil or a demon, have you ever seen any manifestations that would have represented anything that a serpent may do?
Yes, I have. I've seen a scant few, but I've seen them, of people actually getting on the floor and literally writhing like a serpent and flicking their tongue out like a serpent. And but they were on their belly, writhing around and flicking their tongue out. I have seen that.
I have too. One of the things that we do in ministry, we just had that Holy Ghost revival Friday, and we got to pray with a woman who had some demonic activity. But one of the ways that you can see if there is demonic activity, Charlie, is actually looking into the person's eyes, and the pupils will actually change, and they'll become oblonged. Instead of the circle, they'll be oblonged like a cat or like a serpent.
Yes, they will.
And,
yes, they will.
And so they manifest. You'll actually see their eyes change, and that demonic spirit will actually be looking at you through that mm-hmm. person's eyes.
That's right.
Have you ever seen that in ministry while you were doing that?
I have seen that, but I've also seen it outside of the position of ministry. I have seen on YouTube where people caught people that were politicians and things like that, and their eyes actually change.
That's right.
So you know there's something more going on there in that person's life than what that person is saying or doing.
You know, I've dealt with people, like you said, that have come for prayer, for deliverance. We've done it for quite some time. And people actually stick their tongue out, or they'll have like tongue movement that'll be like really rapid when you're doing that. Or you'll see the eyes that'll change. They'll be nervous and they'll be doing things with their tongues. And it looks similar to like what a snake or what a serpent would do.
Yeah.
I've seen that quite often, actually, more than not. A lot of times the eyes may change or take on the characteristics of snake eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And the demons seem to know. Most times when we pray over a person who has a demonic oppression, a lot of times they'll close their eyes. But when we pray, we like to have the eyes open, because that's one way we can tell if, you know, they're playing possum or if they don't want to come out right away. So that person will close their eyes, and we try to get them so that they open their eyes so we can actually see signs of what's going on. See, the demons know that their eyes will give them away. Another example, Charlie, another example is manifestation of a serpent is through the nose. A lot of times you'll hear them like blow air through the nose, make a hissing sound. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but we've experienced that before in ministry.
I've heard the hissing sounds.
Oh, have you? Yeah, yes. and it can catch you off guard too. I mean, sometimes it like, wow, whoa, what was that? You know what I mean? But demonic spirits, Charlie, they'll do that to try to intimidate a person too.
Yes.
And so. And then another example, like you said, we've seen them thrown on the floor by the power of the indwelling spirits, and the bodies will actually writhe or like slither, like a serpent or a snake would. And so that's actually quite common.
And if I've seen videos of these very same things on YouTube where somebody actually captured it, either during a church service or either it was in a place where they were worshiping demons. You can see the manifestation take place.
And the thing is that God wants that person set free. Jesus did everything that needed to be done to get that person set free. And all it takes is a person that will seek ye first the kingdom of God. Just look for God. Just go and seek it out. And give God just that tad bit of faith, even if, you know, you have demonic oppression and stuff and they don't want you to go. You just have to have that person's will to basically say, you know what, I want to be set free.
That's right.
Now, can you set a person free, Charlie, that doesn't want to be set free?
I have never known of that. Not me personally.
Now, I believe.
The only thing that I know is that sometimes I pray for people at a distance, and the Lord has begun to deal with them in a capacity to where a little later they discovered they wanted to be set free. But so far as actually setting someone free that didn't want to be set free, I personally have never had that experience. And the closest I can come to understanding that is the Gadarene demoniac in the Bible. But again, we don't know his heart. Jesus knows people's hearts. And this the demoniac went up to him and said, Jesus, what do you have to do with it? You know, and he had no volition of his own.
That's right. That's right. Good example. Very good example. Now, there are other things that we can come. We're going to just give a couple of examples. Otherwise, we could be here for days saying things that we've learned over the course of time. But another example or common manifestations can occur in the hands, signs that I've seen. And these are for people that are listening that may know of somebody, or perhaps you have some of these symptoms of these manifestations come upon yourself. Your hands may become numb and tingle. Now, if they become numb and tingle, doesn't necessarily mean that you have demonic oppression in your hands. It's just a possible sign that there could be an issue there. Your fingers can become rigid. And these are some signs that could be happening. These would be people that have problems in the lust area, the suicide area, and murder. These are demonic manifestations that could happen. Now, again, if your hands are numb and tingly and your fingers become rigid, but you don't have a lust problem, you're not thinking of killing yourself, and you don't want to go out and kill others, we're not telling you that you know, that's demonic oppression. But if you have problems in the other areas, well, that's something that you might want to look into. Another thing is arthritic spirits often manifest themselves in the hands. And you know that, Charlie, by people's hands, their fingers will be horrifically deformed.
And, yes.
Now, again, you know, there are people that were athletes and they use their hands and they've done things to their hands, so their hands are deformed, or, you know, the joints are all messed up or whatever. It doesn't necessarily mean it's demonic. But again, arthritic conditions in the hands or the body can stem from demonic activity or oppression. Another one I've noticed in the past is odors are often facets of demonic manifestation. Like demons of cancer at times can have a distinct odor. So you can actually, demonic spirits can actually kind of smell or stink, you know, in a person when they're manifesting with a person.
Mm-hmm.
So with that now, let's talk about demonic beings. They like to intimidate. Let's go over to Luke chapter 4 and read verse 41.
Luke 4 and 41, it says, "And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ."
So imagine that. So demons came out of many people. So obviously there was a lot. There was a demonic problem where he was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they came out screaming, you know, shrieking and stuff. Sometimes they'll do that to try to intimidate people. They'll try to intimidate the person. What would you say, Charlie, with a person who isn't filled with the Holy Ghost going out there and in the name of Jesus trying to cast out some demonic beings?
I think they would be in trouble.
Do you have a story offhand?
The seven sons of Sceva had an experience. Yes, they did. They tried to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, and they used words like "Jew you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches," and the spirit in that person used that person's physical capabilities to beat them up and strip them naked. So we have streaking in the Bible. They ran out naked because they were they ran out naked because they've been whipped upon.
Now, didn't the demonic being sit down and say, "Jesus, we know this Paul that you preach of, we know. Who are you?"
Yeah, we don't know who you are. Yeah, Jesus, we know who Paul is. We don't know who you are. So, yeah, they whipped up on.
So in order to go out and cast devils out of people, I would advise very strongly, first of all, you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Second of all, the Holy Ghost prompts you to do so. And thirdly, just follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, you may be made mincemeat out of.
Yeah, you can be.
All right, let's turn over to Acts chapter 8 and read verse 7.
Acts 8 and verse 7. It says, "For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed."
Amen. Do you notice right here, you see something commonly that was done with Jesus and the disciples. A lot of times, Charlie, it seems like demonic beings were cast out and then people were healed after those demonic beings left.
Yeah. They seem to go hand in hand.
Right. And so people are going to say, well, why is that so? Well, there are demons of infirmity or sickness and disease. that can come upon people down a family line, you know, through generations. And it just goes on and on and on. We won't get into that too deeply now, but that would be a good teaching, like generational curses and stuff down the lines. But we're just trying to show different manifestations according to the word and trying to describe them to people just a little bit. How about Matthew chapter 8, verse 29?
It says, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?"
Isn't that funny? They're going to be tormented in the lake of fire. And so what do they do to people? They torment them. Almost like they're giving them what they know it's what's coming.
Yeah.
So it's unbelievable. All right, one more. Let's go over to Mark chapter 1, verse 23.
"And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out."
I like the Amplified version says, just at that time, there was in their synagogue a man who was in the power of an unclean spirit, and now immediately he raised a deep and terrible cry from the depths of his throat. Can you imagine that screeching and stuff he was doing? From that, now, they were in the synagogue, so they're in there doing their little scriptures. They're in their little church, and this thing calls out. That must have gotten the attention of a few people there.
I'm sure it did.
So we've learned here, Charlie, that demons shriek and scream. They can use it as a form of intimidation for the person maybe that's hasn't been around doing this for any lengths of time, or they're not really sure about who they are in Christ, or perhaps they're not filled with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost power. So for all you people seeking deliverance ministries out there, there's nothing wrong with deliverance ministries, but make sure you fully understand and you're with somebody who's rooted and grounded in Christ and that's filled with the Holy Ghost and has been doing it for a while. This right here, Charlie, what we're going to read next, very interesting to me. This is the part that I wanted to talk on a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 15. I found this very, very interesting.
Okay. Deuteronomy 18?
Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 15.
9 through 15, okay. Let's see. "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh or his son or his daughter to pass through the fire," that was Molech, "or that useth divination, or an observer of times, an astrologer, or an enchanter, a magician, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not allowed thee to do so. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee and of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him, yea, he shall hearken."
There's some interesting things there. When I was reading this, and it says in verse 9, "When you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of these nations." So if we stop right there, Charlie, even back in Deuteronomy, 5,000 years ago, I'm not sure what the exact time, but 5,000 years ago, when Deuteronomy was written, he was saying not to go back and to do these things, and not to practice these certain things that godless nations did. And you just gave a list of what it was, but it kind of sounds like in a Christian, we're not to do the abominationable or things that are against God. Almost like these abominations, if you practice them, it opened the door for demonic activity. And if we practice sin, and you're in habitual sin, that it opens the door for demonic attack, oppression. And they can actually seed into you, and they can like stick their talons and grasp a hold of you when you're flashing in your mind. And in verse 10 and 11, it talks about the different things that they're doing and not to practice them. In 12, it says, "For these things are an abomination to the Lord, and it is because of these abominable practices that your Lord, your God, is driving them out before you." What did they do, Charlie, when the Israelites went into a land that practiced these things? What did they do? What were they told to do by God?
They were told to run them out.
Drive them out, right?
Drive them out. Have nothing to do with them. And because the Lord says he doesn't want his people participating in these things. And there's a lot contained in here. And I've preached messages on this before. And there's a lot contained in here concerning all these different things that they were involved in. And when you get down into those things, I can well remember one time I was preaching on this, and you know as well as I do, sometimes when you're ministering in the Word or you're teaching or you're preaching, the Lord will sometimes give you instant revelation of something. It'll be right there, Johnny on the spot, right at that moment. And I was talking about, that shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. Well, I knew what the god Molech was. Is they would go down and they would literally sacrifice their children to this god Molech. They had a fire inside this demon, and they would put their child inside this demon, and they would turn up the fire and burn that child to death as a sacrifice to this god Molech. But at the same time they were doing that, they had all kinds of loud music around this thing to where they would not hear the screams of the child. And when that's taking place, they're celebrating the death of this child. Okay. And at that moment, I got a revelation, and I have not forgotten it because I wrote it down at that time. I stopped right where I was speaking at, and I wrote this down. I said, I got to write this down. And what it was is that I realized very plainly that in my generation, when I was growing up, our parents let us participate in things that were not godly, and in a sense, they were allowing us over into Satan's territory and offering us as a sacrifice unto those demon gods with the music and the things that we were involved in, okay? If you want to get a little closer to home, it has to do with the sacrifice of a child or a baby of the womb. That's tough, but that's what he's talking about. Exactly
yes,
what he's talking
is.
About. So even today, parents are allowing children to be involved in things and pick up things through the video games and television and all kinds of other things that leads them into a snare with Satan. And they let it happen.
That's good. That's good stuff. Yeah, but again, 12, it says, for all those who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And it is because of these abomination practices that the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You know, to me, Charlie, it almost sounds like a type of a shadow also of a person that has demonic activity. Perhaps they're practicing some of these occultic things that are being talked about here. And what is it saying? That we're to go and minister to these people and drive these things out in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Ghost. So it's almost like it's a type or a shadow of deliverance after Christ came. That's what I saw about it. And what did the children of God have to do? They had to have these things driven out, these abominations to the Lord. And what we need to do as a body of Christ is with ourselves and with those who seek freedom or liberty in Christ, our job is through the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus is to help drive these abominations or these practices out of people.
And yes, but drive them out. I don't disagree with that at all. Because when you run into these things, and there are, over the years, I've run into so many Christian people that they love to read their horoscope. They look at it every day in the paper or whatever, you know. They don't understand the ramifications of that. And some of them that, you know, I've talked to over the years, they got angry with me and all kinds of other things. But again, we don't need to participate in those things. The only thing that we need to participate in is reading, studying, and praying the Word of God that will keep us safe from a lot of this stuff. And then when we do observe something or watch something or participate in something or listen to something, we need to filter it through what we know we have learned from Scripture to avoid the pitfalls that could potentially come.
Amen. Absolutely right. Absolutely. You know, Charlie, when we go and eat at the Red Apple a lot, which is
kind of like a, I don't know if it's Japanese or Chinese food restaurant or whatever, but they do those stupid fortune cookies.
Yeah.
And did you know that everybody will want to open and read that stupid fortune cookie thing there that, you know, makes absolutely no sense? And I get kind of made fun of because I won't read them. I'll crush the cookie instead in the package and just leave it there. But and people will think that it's foolish, but man, that stuff can get you in a whole heap of trouble.
Well, if you allow it to pattern your life, you know, if you allow it to pattern your life, or you say that, you know, that that the Spirit is speaking to me through this. Yes, some Spirit's probably speaking to you through that.
Yeah, his name is Familiar. What do you think he's talking about here? You said you spoke on this before. You've taught on it. What does 15 mean when it says the Lord your God will raise you, will raise up for you a prophet from the midst of your brethren, like me? To him you shall listen. Was he talking about Jesus here?
Well, in verse 18, it says the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, Moses, from among you, from your countrymen and brothers, and you shall listen to him. And I don't have the rest of the scripture right here in front of me that goes on further down. But what the Lord is saying there is he's going to raise up people that will speak for him, that will declare his name. And the main one that declared his name, of course, was Christ. No question about that. Moses was a lawgiver, and they were under the law. And then when Jesus came, that law was fulfilled. So they were no longer under that law. They were under Christ. And Christ was the supreme high priest and prophet. No question about it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so now, what's spirit of pride and spirit of importance? And what that is it makes a person think more highly of himself than he ought to be, or he ought to think. Charlie, do you think that there's a big spirit of pride or a spirit of importance that's happening in the body of Christ today?
Yeah, all I got to do is turn on the TV. and you see it. And a lot of times the emphasis is on them and their ministry and such or so on and so forth. The emphasis is not on Jesus Christ. It's on something else. And they take it to the extreme to where they want people to look at them and what they do as opposed to Christ. And that bothers me.
Do you think somebody who does something like that, you think that ministry is going to be around for any, you know, course or length of time?
I don't know. Some have been around for quite a while. I don't understand it, but the Lord has allowed it to go on for whatever reason, if for nothing else, to let people see how foolish it is. I don't know, but I see it. I would trust that the Lord would. I know for me, I would not want to stand before the Lord and have to answer for something like that.
No,
I don't want to go there, because if you get into there's a thing that I've seen it in my brethren in the ministry, that they get this arrogance about them or this pride about them. And I've heard some even say, you know, it says, well, the only way you're going to get anything from God is that I'm going to have to pray for you, and you get it from God through me. Well, that's putting something between that person and God, and that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. There's no mediator between God and man, and no man is going to stand there and say, I'm the mediator, I'm representing Christ on earth, and I'm the mediator. You have to get it through me. No. If a young child is 5 or 6 years old can pray for a man in a wheelchair and he get out, that's the body of Christ doing its job.
Amen. Amen, brother.
That is it in a nutshell. There is no mediator. Man is no mediator. Jesus Christ is the mediator. He's the one that bridges the gap. And everything is done to glorify Christ through Christ for the edification, and all glory and honor goes to God the Father. And another thing, Charlie, that I've seen a lot on too, that a lot of people are speaking against the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and they're speaking against the Holy Ghost, but I've seen a lot of people that are speaking about the Holy Ghost, but they're praising the Holy Ghost, and they're saying very different things about like everything they see. Well, the Holy Ghost has shown me this, and the Holy Ghost showed me this bird, and that means we're going to get out of this now. And the Holy Ghost is showing me this. According to Scripture, the Holy Ghost will point to two people, or not even two people, but two directions, God the Father and Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, that's all the Word says that the Holy Ghost will be talking about, is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't even speak about himself. So you have all these other things that are coming into effect. You can kind of weigh it out now, according to Scripture, saying, "Nah, that doesn't line up with the Word of God." And again, people, if you hear a person talk a lot about themselves and not promoting Jesus Christ, the gospel, or God the Father by the power of the Holy Ghost, then there's probably an issue there. Here's another one right now, Charlie. This is one in your area. What do you think about rhythmic and dancing spirits? Could this be going on in the church today?
Dancing is scriptural.
But what I'm saying here is all dancing of the Lord. Is there a possibility that there could be a fake or an imposter type dancing, I guess you could say?
Well, at one time I learned this from someone who was a Hindu. Okay, and in the Hindu religion, there is a lot of dancing, and they say that all dancing is spiritual, and they're dancing to honor their 20,000 deities or whatever it is, and they're doing it for that purpose, and there can be some falsehood in that. But the scriptures are, we're commanded all throughout both the Old and the New Testament, and that we can honor and worship the Lord in the dance. But again, if the dance is of a sensual nature, it excites the senses rather than glorifying God, that's off in a different dimension.
That's right.
That's in a different place. And
we don't have to worry about that too much here in the New England area, the Frozen Chosen, because everybody sits there with this glassy look on their eyes, and if you get them to move their lips and worship God, by golly, then the Holy Ghost is moving.
And that's one of the things I want to see. I want to see them begin to move a little bit, to get up out of their seats with some expression. You know, there's all these words in Scripture that describe praise and honor and glory to God and expressions of praise and worship unto Him. And if we don't do that, then we're not really honoring the Lord. You know, we're to clap our hands, we're to shout, we're to dance, we're to spin around in joy of emotion, we're to bow, we're to kneel. All those things are expressions of worship unto the Lord. What has happened is that which God himself ordained, Satan stole and perverted it.
That's right.
And so there are churches now that says, oh, no, 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 no. We're not going to have any musical instruments in the church. That's devilish. David played a stringed instrument, okay? I can remember when I was a young Christian believer. Let me put it this way. I know that I got saved at 22. There was no doubt in my mind about it. But at 19, I made some kind of confession in a church. And I went to that church, and I was playing the guitar a little bit that time. I said, well, can I bring my guitar? And they said, oh, no, 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 no. Any guitar is a work of the devil. We don't allow guitars in our services. Says we allow the real instruments of the organ and the piano, but nothing else. I said, okay. So when I went back to the pastor of that church and showed him that David played a lute, which was the forerunner of the guitar, let's just say the pastor didn't appreciate it too much.
That's funny.
But the other church I went to, once I finally got saved and I knew that I was saved at the age of 22, within 6 months, they invited me to bring my guitar and play it along with everybody else. Big difference.
Awesome. We had
tambourines and maracas and all kinds of things, all kinds of musical instruments throughout the congregation.
Awesome. Do you think worship and really just losing yourself in the Lord, honoring and worshiping Him and dancing, do you think that helps usher in the anointing?
Yeah, I think it's a response to the anointing.
And what do you mean by that?
In other words, when the Lord is there and His presence is there, the leading of the Holy Spirit might be to lead into the dance or into the uplifting of hands or into the shout or those things. And it's a response to the presence of the Lord. And when Amen. We do that, we're honoring Him in His presence there.
You know, sometimes it's hard. It's hard. And I know I've been guilty of this myself. You can get all excited for like a football or baseball game or wrestling match or something like that, cheer and hoot and holler and get all excited. And then you go when it comes to worship in church, and, you know, the majority of those people just sit there with all stone-faced.
Oh, yes. I've used that analogy myself numerous times over the years just to remind them, you know, you go to a football game, you scream and holler there. You go to a baseball game, you scream and holler there. You know, you go watch your kids play some sport, you scream and holler there. But you come into church and you've got to be stiff and quiet, because the Lord wants you to be quiet in church. The only time that I read in scriptures to be quiet, it says that it was silent in heaven for half an hour. There was silence for half an hour. So I would imagine that some people, when they leave this world and enter into eternity, when they get there, they probably got the shock of their life.
They're probably still dancing up there and stuff now.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes maybe we'll do a lesson on the Tabernacle of David, because the Tabernacle of David was in the Old Testament. And what they did at the Tabernacle of David was not what they did at the Tabernacle of Moses. No way. It was totally different. It was wild in there.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting show, actually.
Yeah, but the Tabernacle of David is a tremendous study. And the Lord promised that in the last days He was going to raise up the Tabernacle of David that was torn down.
Yeah, we'll have to do that one soon. I'm interested in that one. Mm-hmm. All right, now let's get back here. Now, a tormenting spirit. A tormenting spirit will not let you rest. The people that are sitting down, they're tormented. They just can't seem to have any peace or anything like that. It's nonstop, day and night. It's constantly. They're always being tormented in the mind. That's usually a good indication or a manifestation that there's a manifestation of demonic activity. Another one, Charlie, is pain is very common manifestation. Many, many times people will schedule an appointment for deliverance, and then suddenly they'll get headaches, they'll have pains, they'll feel sick, and they won't go to that deliverance. I've seen that many times.
We saw that just recently. We had invited someone to come to the fellowship, and they said they would come, and they were all excited about coming because they wanted to, they specifically wanted to hear me preach. And that morning, they got a hold of us and says, "Oh, I got a bad headache. I can't go to church today." Not understanding, you know, not understanding the spiritual ramifications of that.
Or that, you know, especially people who are filled with the Holy Ghost and believe and teach on healing and deliverance, if you're sickly or something's wrong, that's the best place to go.
Yeah, it is.
The church and get prayed over. But, I don't know. I guess when I was younger, I was guilty of that as well. Spirits of nervousness and tension can cause pain in the back of the neck. Other manifestations during a deliverance that I've seen many times is they get cramping in the legs or the arms, nausea, crying, laughing. Laughing is often a mocking spirit. Demons are tormented by hearing the blood of Jesus and the fate that is just ahead of them. We witnessed that Friday night. Wednesday. When demons are cast out, they normally leave through the mouth or the nose. They enter many times through the mouth, or hence our speech. Let's turn over to John chapter 20 and read verse 22.
20:22, and it says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost."
Breathe or breath. That's how the Holy Ghost also enters Charlie. Breathe in the Holy Ghost, breathe out the evil spirits. Breathe in, breathe out. When a demon comes out, most common manifestation is coughing. We see that all the time. Other manifestations through the mouth are crying, screaming, sighing, roaring, belching, yawning, vomiting, drooling, spitting, and foaming. So you can see where there's an actual pattern here where they exit out of a person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a few examples of some demonic manifestations. We're just trying to show people some very common things. We're trying to point out that demonic oppression is very, very real. There's a good many Christians that have demonic oppression, and they just don't realize really that they're the elect of Christ, who they are in Christ, and many of them are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Do demonic beings have a power, Charlie?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you.
Do demonic beings, can they have power over a person?
If they're not walking with the Lord, they definitely can. And there's people that say they walk with the Lord, but they still have these demonic oppressions. Because they either don't know about them or they don't pay them any attention, but they have oppression in their lives. Yes, they do.
So they do have that power over that person. And what's the power that's stronger than that power?
Oh, the name of Jesus.
There you go. So they do have demonic beings do have power, but the power of Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost far outweighs the power of a demonic being.
The youngest Christian believer that understands who Jesus is can speak to the devil, and he has to flee.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. Well, Charlie, we covered pretty much everything on that we had for manifestations. We got a few minutes left. I got about 6 minutes left. Have you decided what we're going to be talking about tomorrow night in Bible study?
Let it be a surprise.
Let it be a surprise.
Let it
be a
surprise.
But with that, we tune in tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on Facebook, because it's the surprise. We'll call it the surprise service. Friday, on Hour of Power, we're going to have another surprise. And Sunday's message, surprise, surprise. So...
I never really liked to put the title of my messages out in front of, you know, I just never liked that, you know. You always saw the churches with the marquee out front, you know, and about Tuesday they put up Sunday sermons, message title, and that kind of thing. And I said, so, well, suppose the Lord changes his mind between now and then, you know? And,
that's right.
Because, Dean, there have been times that I have prepared diligently, and I would get up to go preach, and the Lord would say, I want you to save that one till later. I want you to do this one today.
Yep.
And you have to be instant in season and out of season.
That's right.
And if you're going to walk with the Lord and trust him, and you go and you have a desire to be one of his ministers in any capacity, I'm not specifically talking about the fivefold ministry, but in any capacity, you've got to be prepared through diligent study to always be prepared that when the time comes, you're ready for whatever comes up in front of you.
I have somebody who just messaged me. Let's talk about your subject sometime. I'm a deliverance minister. Bless you.
Huh.
And sometimes it's funny there. People don't, well, maybe they do realize, but God is not one-dimensional. He's multi-dimensional. He's
yes.
created everything that there is. So he could work through Charlie and myself one way and work through another person another particular way, as long as it lines up
yes.
with the Word of God. People are getting
that's right.
Set free. That's really all that matters. So we don't like to argue Scripture. Charlie knows he's always right, and we just stick by that. So.
I wish. I found out early on, the more I know, the more I realize what I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, you know, can sit down and teach on a subject for years, and then you'll sit down and read the Word, you'll be like, holy smokes, there's another avenue right there.
There's
a whole different direction.
Yep, sure can.
Good stuff. Any other news here, Charlie? We've got about 3 minutes.
Well, I think everything is okay so far as I know, and the Lord is blessing, and he's encouraging, and he's healing, and he's delivering, and he's setting people free, and people are getting saved, and they're getting born again, and they're getting water baptized and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the gospel is going forth, and that's all I really care about seeing.
Amen. Amen.
And when that occurs, nothing will change in a community or in a community or in a city or a county or a state or a nation till people's hearts are right. And if their hearts are not right, then nothing's going to change. It's going to continue to stay confusion forever.
Ain't that the truth, my friend? Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the truth? All right, so again, join us tomorrow on Facebook, Charlie Sims Facebook. We'll also plug it onto my Facebook. For Bible study. We'll be doing Bible studies now over Charlie Sims' place. And we'll do the Sunday services here in the sanctuary. And it's nice because then I won't have to clean my house up in the sanctuary all up before everybody comes over.
we don't want to forget the email address if somebody wants to write to us.
Say that again. I didn't hear what you said. I got interrupted by the blog lady there.
Okay, it's don't forget the email address because
we
want people to write to us.
There we go. The email address is HGFC. That's Holy Ghost Fire Church, the initials, 2017@gmail.com. And again, it's HGFC2017@gmail.com. Well, Charlie, looks like we'll be doing it again on Thursday at 9:00. I will send you up with the notes tomorrow, and we'll do another show.
Good enough.
All right. We want to thank everybody for listening. We love you all. And remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless.
God bless.